Hi, Mom.
Hey, it's great to be able to talk to you. I haven't been able to talk to you in really a long time, and my friend Jack has got this box that I can talk to you from, so I'm glad to be able to send you this message and tell you how much I love you, and also tell you that I think you should start talking to Daddy again. And since you're both there together, there's no reason not to talk. And also, you know how we used to watch the weather all the time on TV? And we used to know what was happening, you know, up there in Winnipeg? And, I met this guy named Al, and he's the weatherman now for the whole planet, if you can imagine that. And he's sometimes not popular because, this is very strange, but, you know, people turn on the weatherman. When the weather is going to be bad, they actually turn on the weatherman and say bad things about him and put him down. So things haven't been that great lately. You know, day by day it's real good, you know, most of the time. But every once in a while, all hell breaks loose, Mom, and the whole thing is just like nothing I've ever seen before, and it seems to be happening everywhere. So you know, here and there, everywhere, all the time. All around the whole globe, around Earth. So, you know, even though Al's forecasts are good, he gets in trouble. So I know we always used to watch the weather forecast together, so I thought I'd tell you about that, and I miss you. And I know that, you know, I'd like you to say hello to Ben for me. And tell him that, you know, I'll be around, I'll be there eventually. Not for a while, though. I still really have a lot of work to do here. And so I love you, and I hope everybody's feeling good up there, and don't forget to talk to Daddy. Bye.
Around the stars, a journey through the universe ablaze with change. Moments of magic will glow in the night. Fears of the forest are all gone, but when the morning breaks, they're swept away by golden drops of dawn, of change. Passions will part to a strange melody. The Because fires will sometimes burn cold like petals in the wind. We're puppets to the silver strings of souls of changes. Your tears will be trembling. Now we're somewhere else. One last cup of wine we'll pour, and I'll kiss you one more time, and leave you on the rolling river shores of changes.
Jihad for Love, White Water Black Gold, A Red Girl's Guide to Reasoning, East Hastings Pharmacy. Ai Weiwei, never sorry, misrepresentation.
Cinema Politica UBC screens politically charged films with speakers and discussions every month. Screenings take place at the Norm Theater in the Sub and are by donation. To learn more, visit cinemapolitica.org/UBC.
Convoy of cultural hegemony, we be missing the forest.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a non-profit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Yeah.
Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, Sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips.
Alright, radio fans, welcome to Transition State. I'm your host as always, Adam Smiley. I hope you have your thinking caps on. The difference between a sedative and a hypnotic is generally a question of dose, especially regarding phytotherapy. Plant products used in this way are not as potent as synthetic drugs, but neither do they have many of the disadvantages. However, as with synthetic hypnotics, these medicines are generally intended for short-term use. Valeriana officinalis, commonly known as valerian, all heal, and by many other vernacular names, is among the most well-documented of all the medicinal plants, particularly in Northern Europe. It is an herbaceous plant, reaching about 1 meter in height, and is cultivated in many European countries, as well as in Japan and North America. Valerian has a long history of traditional use. Historically, it was used in the treatment of conditions involving nervous excitability, such as hysterical states and hypochondriasis, as well as in insomnia. The parts used pharmaceutically are the root, rhizomes, and stolons, which are yellowish-gray to pale grayish-brown. The rhizomes may be up to 50 millimeters long and 30 millimeters in diameter, whereas the roots may be about 100 millimeters long and 1 to 3 millimeters in diameter. Valerian root has a characteristic smell, which is usually described as unpleasant. The main components of valerian are the volatile oil and the iridoid valepotriate constituents. The volatile oil contains numerous compounds, including monoterpenes and sesquiterpenes, caryophyllene, valerianol, valerinic acid, and derivatives. The valpotriate compounds include valtrate, dihydrovaltrate, and isovaltrate. The valpotriates readily decompose on storage and processing to form mainly baldrinol and homobaldrinol, which are also unstable. Valerian also contains alkaloids, including valerianine and valerine, and amino acids. Such as arginine, gamma-aminobutyric acid, which is GABA, and glutamine, and tyrosine. The sedative effects of valerian root are well documented. In vivo studies in mice have demonstrated CNS depressant activity for the volatile oil, the valpotriates, and the valpotriate degradation products. The sedative effects of valerian root are thought to be due to the activities of these different components, particularly valerinal, and valerinic acid, constituents of the volatile oil, and the valproate compounds. Therefore, the profile of these constituents and their concentrations in a specific valerian preparation will determine its activity. Biochemical studies have indicated that certain components of valerian, particularly valerinic acid, may lead to increased concentrations of the inhibitory transmitter GABA in the brain by inhibiting its catabolism, inhibiting uptake and/or by inducing GABA release. Increased GABA concentrations are associated with decreased CNS activity, which may, at least partly, explain valerian sedative activity. It is not clear whether valerian root extracts have effects on the binding of benzodiazepines to receptors. Modern medicinal uses for valerian root preparations are for insomnia, stress, and anxiety. Clinical trials have tested the effects of valerian preparations on subjective and objective sleep parameters and on measures of stress. Some, but not all, of these studies provide evidence to support the traditional uses of valerian. Several preparations contain valerian root in combination with other herbs reputed to have hypnotic and/or sedative effects, such as hops and melissa. For further details, see the American Herbal Pharmacopoeia and Houghton of 1997. It is recommended that valerian preparations should not be taken for up to 2 hours before driving a car or operating machinery. Also, the effect of valerian preparations may be enhanced by alcohol consumption. There are isolated reports of hepatotoxicity associated with valerian-containing products, although causality has not been established. Valerian root is listed in the European Pharmacopoeia, which requires that it contains not less than 5 milliliters per kilogram of volatile oil for the whole drug, and not less than 3 milliliters per kilogram for the cut drug, both calculated with reference to the dried drug. It should also contain not less than 0.17% of sesquiterpenic acids, expressed as valerenic acid, calculated with reference to the dried drug. Interesting, huh? Okay, now let's hear some Jennifer Castle.
You can always tell me anything. from the boss. He don't understand. He don't understand me.
Beppy Chris Band presents Difficult Music, Harsh Electronics, Spoken Word, Cut Up / Collage, and a General Chris Band Weirdness. Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Join us on Chips and Dip every second Thursday afternoon, 1 to 2 p.m. with host Hannah Fazio for the freshest local indie pop tracks and upcoming shows at CITR 101.9 FM.
And we are back. Just a quick recap. That last song we heard was by a band called Mecha Normal from Portland. I'm pretty sure they mostly just jam on the guitar and read out some excerpts from literature or something. It sounds like it was from a book. Anyway, very listenable, so thank you. Mecha Normal. Track was Art Was the Great Leveler. Before that, we heard Jennifer Castle, Working for the Man. And before that, which seems like a long time ago, we heard Corb Lund, obviously a legend, playing Good Copenhagen, live and unrehearsed, no doubt. And before that, we heard from Neil Young, Changes and the Letter Home intro. So we got some more good music coming up tonight, fans. Don't touch that dial. First, we're going to hear some more about pharmacognosy and phytotherapy. Humulus lupulus, Cannabinaceae, often referred to by its common name of hops, has been used traditionally for insomnia, neuralgia, and excitability. It is cultivated in several European countries, including England, France, and Germany. The part of the plant used pharmaceutically is the female flower heads, known as strobiles. These are composed of overlapping bracts, which enclose the ovary. Hops have a characteristic odor. The main active constituents of hops are the bitter principles found in the oleoresin. These include the alpha acid humulone and the beta acid lupulone, and their degradation products, such as 2-methyl-3-butanol. Other constituents include flavonoids, chalcones, tannins, and volatile oils. Modern pharmaceutical uses of hops include sleep disturbances and restlessness. Sedative and hypnotic activities have been documented in vivo in mice for extract of hops and for the bitter acid degradation product 2-methyl-3-butanol. Clinical studies provide some evidence of the hypnotic effects of hops given in combination with the herbal sedative hypnotic valerian. Antibacterial and antifungal activities have been documented in vitro for certain constituents of hops. Hops are non-toxic, as their use in beer would suggest. Cheers.
Thank you.
And we're back. That was Montreal band Tops giving you the pop synth that you love. Melissa officinalis has been used traditionally for its sedative effects, as well as for its gastrointestinal disorders. No, as well as for gastrointestinal disorders. The dried leaves are the parts used pharmaceutically. The herb is described in chapter 17. The volatile oil of Melissa contains numerous constituents, mainly monoterpenes, particularly aldehydes, for example, as citronellal, geranial, and neural, and sesquiterpenes, for example, beta-caryophyllene. Flavonoids, including quercetin, apigenin, and chiamphorol, and polyphenols, for example, hydroxycinnamic acid derivatives, are also present in the herb. Sedative and antispasmodic effects have been documented for Melissa extracts using in vivo studies in mice and rats. It is used for nervous or sleeping disorders and functional gastrointestinal complaints. There has been no clinical investigation of the sedative effects of Melissa alone in individuals with sleeping disorders. However, clinical trials have explored the effects of Melissa in combination with other herbal sedatives, like valerian and hops, and provide some evidence to support the sedative and hypnotic effects of such preparations. Anti-hormonal effects of balm, mainly anti-thyroid, have been documented, and recently cholinergic activity has been found for extracts using human cerebral cortical cell membrane homogenates. Dried lemon balm is usually taken internally in the form of a herbal tea at a dose of 2 to 4 grams 3 times a day. Melissa extracts are also applied topically in cases of herpes simplex labialis resulting from HSV-1 infection. Lemon balm is regarded as non-toxic, although it should not be used to excess because of the reputed anti-thyroid activity. Melissa is listed in the European Pharmacopoeia, which states that the drug contains not less than 4% of total hydroxycinnamic derivatives, expressed as rosmarinic acid, calculated with reference to the dried drug. And now, some Jack White.
Two birds sitting there perfectly still. One of them up to no good. The other one doing what he totally should. I think I found the culprit. Looks like you, it must be you. Ain't found nothing better yet. What's the matter with you? You got nothing to do.
have a feather may lay together, but the uglier one is always under the gun. Birds of a feather may lay together, but the uglier one is always under the gun. Birds of a feather may lay together, but the uglier one is always under the gun.
Magazines, large box of condoms, a bottle of Old Harper, a couple of those panty shields, and some illegal fireworks, and one of those disposable enemas. Make it two.
To learn more about the diverse array of programming on CITR 101.9 FM, why not visit CITR.ca?
There was a time when beaver lodges like this one and the busy beavers that build them had almost disappeared from Canada because of overtrapping. But the beaver, who will always be associated with Canada's early days, has been reintroduced into many areas, and it's made a successful comeback. The beaver builds dams because he has to store
CITR
in water deep enough not to freeze. With all the wood cutting that the beaver has to do, it's fortunate that his incisor teeth never stop growing.
And we're back. We just heard Jack White. The track was I Think I Found the Culprit. And before that we heard Tops. The track was Blind Phase. Now back to plants that affect the central nervous system. Cocaine is a tropane alkaloid extracted from the leaf of coca, which is Erythroxylum coca. These are shrubs growing at high altitudes in the South American Andes. The leaf is still chewed by the local people, along with lime, to assist buccal absorption, in order to alleviate symptoms of altitude sickness and fatigue. Cocaine is rarely used medicinally, except as a local anesthetic in eye surgery, but is now a major illicit drug responsible for many health problems and associated crime. The supply and use of cocaine is strictly regulated in most countries. Got it? The opium poppy, Papaver somniferum, is an annual that is native to Asia but is cultivated widely for food, the seed and seed oil, for medicinal purposes, and as a garden ornamental. It has been used since time immemorial as a painkiller, sedative, cough suppressant, and anti-diarrheal, and features in ancient medical texts, myths, and histories. The flowers vary in color from white to reddish-purple, but are usually pale lilac with a purple base spot. The capsules are subspherical, depressed at the top with a radiating stigma in the center, below which are the valves through which the seeds are dispersed. The seeds are small, grayish, and kidney-shaped. The latex, which exudes from the unripe capsule when scored, dries to form a blackish, tarry resin, which is known as opium. For pharmaceutical use, it can be treated to form prepared opium, but opium, or the whole dried capsule, known as poppy straw, are now used commercially to extract the alkaloids. The supply and use of these products is strictly regulated in most countries. Poppy seeds are used in cooking. Alkaloids represent about 10% of the dried latex. The major alkaloid is morphine, with codeine and thebaine, and lesser amounts of very many others, including narcine, narcotine, papaverine, salutaridine, oripavine, and sanguinarine. Opium has potent narcotic and analgesic properties. The total alkaloidal extract is known as papaveritum and is used for preoperative analgesia, now with the narcotine removed due to its reported genotoxicity. Morphine is a very potent analgesic used for severe pain in the short term, for example kidney stone, or for terminal illness, and is the starting material for the production of thiamorphine, which is heroin. Codeine is less potent than morphine, although it is a very useful analgesic for moderate to severe pain, and is used for migraine, muscle pain, dental, gynecological, and other types of pain. All the opioid analgesics have side effects, which include nausea, constipation, and drowsiness. They cause respiratory depression and have a potential for dependence, which varies according to their capacity to induce euphoria. A withdrawal symptom is common after illicit use, especially with heroin, but less of a problem with medical use. So keep that in mind, people. Stay pharmaceutically sound and play safe. Now back to the music.
Share the colors from the fading.
And we're back. Ginkgo, the maidenhair tree, is an ancient fossil tree indigenous to China and Japan, and cultivated elsewhere. It is very hardy, and is reputed to be the only species to have survived a nuclear explosion. The leaves are unique. They are glabrous and bilobed, and each lobe is triangular, with fan-like, fine, prominent, radiate veins. The leaves are used medicinally, and the fruits are eaten in China. Ginkgo contains two major types of constituent, both of which contribute to the activity, the ginkgolides A, B, and C, which are diterpene lactones, and bilobalide, and flavonoids, the most important being the biflavone glycosides, such as gingetin, isogingetin, and bilobetin. Ginkgolic acids are present in the fruit, but normally only in very minor amounts in the leaf. The most important use of ginkgo is to reduce or prevent memory deterioration due to aging and milder forms of dementia, including the early stages of Alzheimer's disease. It enhances cognitive processes thought to be by improving blood circulation to the brain and having anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects. Many clinical studies have been carried out, not all of high quality, unfortunately, and amongst others, the extract has been shown to improve the mental performance in healthy volunteers and geriatric patients where this was impaired. The effects on the CNS are not yet well defined, but include effects on neurotransmitter uptake, neurotransmitter receptor changes during aging, cerebral ischemia, and neuronal injury. Inhibition of nitric oxide may play a part in this. The usual dose of ginkgo extracts is 120 to 240 milligrams daily. Ginkgo has been reported to cause dermatitis and gastrointestinal disturbances in large doses, though these symptoms are rare. Allergic reactions in sensitive individuals are more likely to be a result of ingestion of the fruits due to the ginkgolic acids, which are usually absent from leaf extracts and ginkgo products, or present only in very small amounts.
I don't know if I'm scared of dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on, no, no, I gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings, time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in an attempt to be free. Be it for ease, be it for love, I won't take the comes with the bad. A song's never just sad. There's hope. There's a silver light. Show me my silver light. Show me my silver light. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in the town
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Peace to the Musqueam Nation. St. John's wort, Hypericisae, has a history of medicinal use, particularly as a, quote, nerve tonic, end quote, and in the treatment of nervous disorders. It is an herbaceous perennial plant native to Europe and Asia. The name St. John's wort may have arisen as the flowers bloom in late June, around St. John's Day, which is June 24th. Herbal products containing St. John's wort have been among the top-selling herbal preparations in developed countries in recent years. The dried herb, consisting mainly of the flowering tops, including leaves, unopened buds, and flowers, is the part used pharmaceutically. Initially, hypericin, a naphthodianthrone, was considered to be the antidepressant constituent of St. John's wort, although experimental and clinical evidence has now emerged that hyperforin, a prenylated fluoroglucanol, is a major constituent required for antidepressant activity. St. John's wort also contains other biologically active constituents such as flavonoids. That's it. Further research is necessary to determine which other constituents contribute to the antidepressant effect. The precise mechanism of action for the antidepressant effect of St. John's wort is unclear. Results of biochemical and pharmacological studies have suggested that St. John's wort extracts inhibit synaptosomal uptake of the neurotransmitters serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, and GABA. Studies involving small numbers of healthy male volunteers have indicated that St. John's wort extracts may have dopaminergic activity and effects on cortisol, which may influence concentrations of certain neurotransmitters. Previous in vitro studies suggested that St. John's wort inhibited monoamine oxidase, although other studies failed to confirm this. Experimental studies involving animal models of depression provide supporting evidence for the antidepressant effects of St. John's wort. Evidence from randomized controlled trials indicates that preparations of St. John's wort extracts are more effective than placebo and possibly as effective as conventional antidepressants in the treatment of mild to moderate depression. Generally, a few weeks' treatment is required before marked improvement is seen. St. John's wort is not recommended or suitable for the treatment of major depression. The effects of St. John's wort extract have also been explored in preliminary studies involving individuals with seasonal affective disorder and premenstrual syndrome, and in patients with psychogenic symptoms resembling those of physical disease. Standardized extracts of St. John's wort are generally well tolerated when used at recommended doses for up to 12 weeks. Adverse effects reported are usually mild and include gastrointestinal symptoms, dizziness, confusion, and tiredness, and rarely photosensitivity due to the hypericin content. However, clinical trials of St. John's wort suggest a more favorable short-term safety profile than some conventional antidepressants. Concern has been raised over interactions between St. John's Wort preparations and certain prescribed medicines, including anticonvulsants, cyclosporin, digoxin, HIV protease inhibitors, oral contraceptives, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, theophylline, triptans, and warfarin. Patients taking these medicines should stop taking St. John's Wort and seek medical advice, except in the case of oral contraceptives, as dose adjustment of the prescribed medicines concerned may be necessary. St. John's Wort should not be used during pregnancy or lactation. Hypericum is included in the European Pharmacopoeia, which states that the drug should contain not less than 0.08% of total hypericins, expressed as hypericin, calculated with reference to the dried drug. Analysis is usually by high-performance liquid chromatography. Most products containing standardized extracts of St. John's Wort are still standardized on hypericin content, as hyperforin is fairly unstable. All right. Well, that's it for this week, radio fans. I hope you enjoyed the pharmacognosy and phytotherapy lesson. We have one more track. Just for the record, we heard earlier the band First Aid Kit with the awesome song called My Silver Lining. And before that, we heard FKA Twigs with Video Girl. So now we have one more. This is something I've been dying to play for a long time. It's by Merrell Wagner. The title of the album is When the Cellar Children See the Light of Day. And the song is Good Night. So, good night, everyone. And until next week, stay pharmaceutically sound.
Good night, I love you, darling, good night. Good night, may the stars shine bright. Good night, my darling, good night. I'll push down the pillow with all of my might. Good night, the stars are so bright. And I'll hold down the pillow with all of my might. Tomorrow, tomorrow will be all right. Together forever, now and through time.
Hello, this is the recording artist Jay Arner, and you're listening to CITR.